Hallelujah! Man, is that not a tearjerker? Oh my Lord, don't get me started. You know, if you've been here any length of time, man, I was over there shedding some tears. Man, awesome. Man, hallelujah! Come on, church. Man, if that doesn't get you moving, that doesn't get you excited, that doesn't get you to, come on, come on. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Man, thank you for our children's choir. Thank you for our Kids Connect. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited this morning. Man, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, praise God this morning. Man, you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Don't ever let the world tell you that you're useless, you're worthless, that you're no good, that you're too young. Come on, don't get me started. I got a message to preach, and we got to get home to eat our ham. But God is going to take control when he comes into the room. Hallelujah. My message is, he's the proof of the resurrection, but I changed that a little bit, and I didn't tell Max, but he's in the room. Hallelujah. He's in the room. Hallelujah. He's the proof of the resurrection, but he's in the room. Praise God. He's in the room. Hallelujah. I didn't even get done. These kids are leaving me. Don't ever let them tell you you're worthless, useless, you're too young, you can't do it. God has a call on your children. He's got a call on your children. And parents, you need to recognize that. These kids could be doing a lot of other things besides coming here on a Saturday night or on a Sunday morning. Pray for these kids. Pray for your children, your nieces and nephews. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man. He's in the room, church. He's in the room. John 20:19. Start with verse 19. He's the proof. The proof is in the resurrection. And he's in the room. John 20:19-20 says, "Then the same day at evening," this is after the resurrection, "being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst." He's in the room. "And he saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Hallelujah. Church, he's in the room. Hallelujah. He's in the room. See, the Jews had put Christ to death. And the disciples, their faith was weak. They thought that they would be facing the next crucifixion. And so, as followers of Jesus. So the disciples, they felt defeated and maybe even afraid of Jesus because they all abandoned Jesus and they felt useless for the Lord. So they're in this room, the door is locked, and they're afraid. But guess what? Jesus showed up and revived his disciples. Jesus wants to revive you today. Jesus is in the room. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is in the room. See, Jesus showed up to revive them, to give them life, to show them life. We all have made decisions that have negatively affected our lives, right? We all have gone through life. Peter denied Jesus. James, Andrew, Matthew, and the other disciples, they all abandoned the Lord. They're all hiding. John, he was heartbroken how much he loved Jesus. And they crucified him. So I ask you today, where do you fit into that picture? Who are you? You know, are you John that says, "Lord, I'm walking with you. I believe you. I believe in the resurrection. I believe you're in the room." And my heart just hurts because of what they did. Or are you one of the disciples that just kind of like abandoned Jesus? You're hiding in the room. Spiritually, you've locked the door, you've closed the door, and you're in fear. Where are you? What are you going through? We need to look to Jesus, because Jesus is alive. He is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. So whatever you may be going through, he never leaves you or forsakes you. Praise God. So I want you to see this picture. They're all huddled into this little room. There are many believers hiding behind closed doors today. They're living as if Christ is still dead. And sometimes we live in fear of Jesus. Does Jesus really love me? I see my life and what I've gone through. I see some of the things I've done, even as I walked with Jesus. Does he still love me? Like these disciples, they had shut the door spiritually speaking and physically. I want to ask that question to you today. You know, are you one of the disciples that has gone into the room, shut the door, and almost is in fear of, you know, they're coming after me next? You know, have I walked with Jesus the way I should have? Jesus loves you. That's why he died for you. Praise God. And he's alive. So his first appearance was to the frightened disciples after the resurrection. The doors are locked, the disciples are frightened, and Jesus comes into them and stands in their midst. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? You're in this room, the door is shut and it is locked, and you're all huddled in there, and all of a sudden Jesus appears. The first thing I want you to see is he appears regardless of barriers. There is no barrier with Jesus. There is no wall with Jesus. There is no mountain with Jesus. There's nothing that Jesus can't handle. There's nothing that Jesus can't walk through. There's nothing that is going to upset Jesus. There's nothing that's going to come as a surprise to Jesus. But I want you to know today on Resurrection Sunday, there is no barriers for Jesus. Hallelujah. That means there's no barriers that you can put up that Jesus isn't going to walk into your room and say, "Hey, I'm here. I'm here. This is what we need today. I'm here." Praise God. Praise God. Jesus did not have to knock. He did not even have to open the door. He simply was there. And he wasn't a ghost, because he said, "See my hands and see my side." He is in the room. He is in the room. What about when Jesus walked into the room of a little dead girl at 12 years old? He walks into the room and the family's mourning, and he comes in and they look at him and they're just like, you know, "What are you here for?" And he walks into the room and he says, "Get the negative people out, the ones that don't believe in me, the ones that believe she's still dead." He walks in the room and he raises her up from the dead at 12 years old. Jesus is in the room. Hallelujah. Even if you don't let him in, he's coming into the room. Praise God. That's what Resurrection Sunday's all about. What about when there was a man who was paralyzed, he was laying on a mat, and four of his friends couldn't get to Jesus through the front door because he was in the room, he was in the house, and he was ministering, and what did they do? They opened up the roof, they started tearing the roof off, and they lowered this man who was paralyzed on a mat, and they lowered him down. Guess what? Jesus was in the room. Hallelujah. He's in your room. He's in your room. He is where you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. In our greatest need, in the sadness of life, when we are hurting and grieving, when we lock, sometimes we lock everybody out of our life. There's sometimes they're like, we lock people out. We just say, "Hey, you know, I'm shutting the door. I don't want to talk to anybody anymore. I've heard all the answers. I have a lot of questions, and I've heard all the answers." That's where we encounter Jesus. When you're looking for the answer, that's when you encounter Jesus. When the door is shut, when you're grieving, when you're hurting, when you've locked everyone out of your life, Jesus is in the room. He can reach in you. He can reach into you anywhere at any time. There is no place where you are and no depths of who you are in which Christ can't penetrate you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you said, no matter where you've gone, Jesus can reach out to you. Guess what? Jesus can go where no one else can go. Think about it. He can go where no counselor can go. He can go where no doctor can go. He can go where no lover can go. He can reach in you, reach into you, anywhere you are. When the doctor gives you that diagnosis of a disease that's crippling, guess what? Jesus is in the room. Hallelujah. When you're going through something, when you're laying on your son or daughter's bed at night and you know they're supposed to be home and they're not home and you know they're someplace where they shouldn't be and you're in tears and you're crying out to God, guess what? Jesus is in the room. Hallelujah. Why do I know that? Why am I sure of that? Because he's risen from the grave. Hallelujah. He's in the room. No matter what you're going through, he's in the room. Jesus' resurrection from the dead allows him to do what no one else can do. There is no one else like him in all the universe. He's alive. Hallelujah. There is no other God that's alive. Jesus is alive. He can go where no man can go. He can do what no man can do. Why? Because he is the only God-man. When he was on this earth, when he was walking on this earth, God-man. Hallelujah. Don't understand that. Don't know how. But he's God and he was man. Praise God. Number two, there is no barrier. And number two, he comes to his own. He came in where the disciples were. These were his disciples. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows who are his. He knows you. He knows you. He knows you by name. He knows the hairs that are on your head. He counts the stars. He created the stars. There's nothing that he doesn't know. And he comes to his own. He knows you. He created you. See, Jesus comes to his own when they are afraid. And he doesn't wait. I like this. He doesn't wait till they get their act together. He doesn't wait till they get a little bit better. He doesn't wait to say, well, you know, when you get a little bit better, when you stop doing those things. And no, he stands in our midst. Listen to this. He doesn't wait for them to have enough faith to overcome fear. He comes to help them have enough faith to overcome fear. Did you hear that? See, I'm going to say that again. He doesn't wait for them to have enough faith to overcome their fear. He comes to help them have enough faith to overcome their fear. Jesus comes not to condemn us. He comes to give us life. He comes to say, I've come to give you more faith. I've come to give you power. I've come to give you wisdom and understanding and a knowledge of who I am so that you can overcome fear. Hallelujah. What an awesome God that is. What an awesome God that is. I'm glad I don't have to live with a God that says, you know, you've been bad today, so I'm staying away until you get better. Because then I'd have to ask the question, when do I get better? What is better? When am I good enough? When am I better enough? When am I, you know, perfect enough? Jesus is saying, you know, he goes, I'm not going to wait until you get perfect. I'm still going to walk with you. I'm still going to talk with you. I loved you from the very beginning. The Bible says that he chose us in Ephesians 1. He chose us, Ephesians 1, I think it's, check it out, Max, maybe 4 or 5. Ephesians 1, it says, I have chosen you before the foundations of the world. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He knew you before he created the world. That's unfathomable. I don't know. I don't understand that. I can't explain that. But he's chosen us. He's chosen you. Hallelujah. He's in the room. Why? Because he chose Ben. He chose Oleg. He chose Kirill. He chose Kat. He chose Sandy. Hallelujah. He chose Lou. He chose you. Praise God. Amen. If I chose Lou, I'm not running away from Lou. If I chose Lou, I'm staying with Lou. Praise God. You know, when you're in gym class, I remember when you were a little kid in gym class, they'd have all the lineup, all the kids, and then you get to pick who's going to be on your side for kickball or whatever the game is, you know. I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. They don't say, I choose you, now go sit down. I chose you. You're on my team. Jesus is forming a team, and he's calling it the church, and you are one of them. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Don't get me excited. Don't get me excited. Man, he's chosen you before the foundations of the world. Man, God is so good. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, hallelujah. Fear not, for I am with thee. We go through a lot of things in life. Sometimes we ask the question, God, are you here? Were you there? He is, and he's a good God. He is, and he's a good God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number three, he stands in our midst. He stands in our midst. He did not come to the edge and call out through the wall. Isn't that awesome? Hey, 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 hey. I'm not going to get too close to you. The door's shut. The door is locked. So I'm just going to kind of like stand from a distance and say, hey, Phil, are you there? No, he stands in our midst. He did not distance himself from them. He wanted them to see him and know him and believe in him and love him. That's what he wants for us today. He wants us to know him. And for him, for us to know him, he has got to be close to us. And we have got to be close to him. And what he says is in that scripture in verse 20, or chapter 20, he says, peace be with you. Before any power or any purpose in our life, Jesus comes and gives us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He walks into the room. They're fearful. They're afraid. He walks into the room and he says, peace be with you. We don't initiate peace. I want you to catch this. We don't initiate peace with Jesus by our actions. Like I said, we don't try to be good and hopefully Jesus then has peace with me or you. He initiates peace with us. See, we have to understand this as believers. See, we get so caught up in this, if I could just be good enough, this works mentality. You know, we talk about that a lot because we struggle with that a lot. If I could, I wonder if Jesus loves me today. Hey, for he initiates the peace. We don't initiate peace by our actions. He loves us. He initiates it. He loves you, and he comes to give you peace. For he himself is our peace. For through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father, through Jesus. Isaiah 53:5 says, and the reason I can offer you peace is because of my blood I have covered all your sins. That's why he can offer us peace, because of his shed blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 20, he says, when he has said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He says, I am the one who died. I am the one you abandoned. And I am the one who was pierced for your transgressions. It was me. And I stand here in your midst. Peace be with you. See, Christ reconciled us to God through the cross, thereby canceling the wrath, everything that has separated us from God. Everything, every sin, everything that has separated you from God, Christ took that on the cross. All the wrath between God and us, I want you to catch this. All the wrath, look at this cross, all the wrath that was between man and God was absorbed on the cross. I want you to think about that. It was absorbed on the cross. Every one of your sins, past, present, and future, is on the cross. Is on the cross. Man, that's got to get you excited, because that frees us to know when I receive Jesus, I receive him because he has took every one of my sins that I've ever done and will ever do. That's why he went to the cross. That's why Jesus can say, "Peace be with you." With all this peace to go, he has unlocked the door and opened it. And he has freed us because of his peace. His peace frees you and I. His peace frees you and I. Hallelujah. I want you to catch this. Number one, we have peace between us and Jesus. Because see, we're looking for peace all the time. We're looking at, our nations are looking for peace. We're always at war. We're looking for at peace with relationships, with our jobs, with our boss, with our neighbors. We're always looking for peace. And I want you to see that peace is between us and Jesus. Because Jesus is offering himself as a friend and a helper. He's not offering himself as a judge to you. He's your friend and he's your helper. Praise God. So we have peace with Jesus because of the cross. We have peace between us and God. That's why God sent Jesus, so that God's justice and wrath could be satisfied another way besides eternal punishment. We were doomed for hell. We were all sinners saved by God's grace, but we all have sinned from Adam and Eve. So what happens? He sends Jesus, and it reconciles us to the Father. So now we have peace with Jesus. We have peace with God. And we have peace with our souls. And in Hebrews 9, it says, God cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So we have peace with Jesus. We have peace with God. We have peace with ourselves because of the cross. And not just the cross, but because he rose from the tomb. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. See, we're looking for peace. We're looking for peace all in the wrong places of life. And Jesus says, I am the peace. We have to just accept that through Jesus Christ. Peace doesn't mean that past sins and hurts cease to be painful. It means, I want you to catch this. See, God has forgiven you of all your sins, you and I, past, present, and future. But there are things that we've done that may have scars, that may hurt, that we remember. But this is what I want you to understand. It means that we cease to be paralyzed with that. It doesn't paralyze me anymore. Why? Because I know Jesus took my sins. He took your sins. So it doesn't paralyze me anymore. He's not going to, my past doesn't hold my future hostage. My past is done. Because you know why? Because Jesus can't live in the past. Jesus lives now and in the future. Because if he lived in the past, he wouldn't have forgiven you of all your sins. If he's forgiven you of all your sins, and the Bible says, there's far as the east is from the west, why would he go back into your past? He can't. He can't. He's not in your past. So when the only person that can bring up your past is the devil. That's the only person that can bring up your past. Because that's where he is. That's where he likes to stay. Because if he can get you and draw you back to your past, that's where he wants to draw you. But my Jesus, your Jesus, is not in the past. He's in the present and he's in the future. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's the same, that means when he went to the cross and he absorbed all our sins and our faults and our failures, that means he's not going back and he's looking at that. He's saying, Tom, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I have a destiny for you. Let's go walk it out. Come on, church. He has a plan and a purpose for Calvary Gospel. Let's go walk it out. Let's not worry about the past. Let's not worry about the things that have happened in the past. Let's not worry about the people that have maybe come to the church in the past and that things didn't work out. Jesus isn't back there. Jesus is here right now, today, on Resurrection Sunday, and he's saying, Calvary Gospel, let's move forward to see what God has for us. That's what he has for you. He's not in the past. The devil's in the past. Jesus isn't there. And he's waiting on the other side. He says, come on, get out of the past. Get out of the past. He's got a plan for us. He's got a plan for you. And number five, they go peace with Jesus, peace with God, peace with our souls, and peace with the world. He's coming back, and he's going to bring peace forever. That's what gets me so excited. We may be living in some times today that aren't peaceful, but my Bible says, Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, with righteousness from this time forth and forever. He's coming back. He's coming back, church, for you and I. Hallelujah. And he's going to bring peace to this world. Man, let it settle in. I do a lot of talking. I get excited because this stuff is true, man. There's no better place to be in the hands of Jesus. Think about it. We want his appearance, and he has showed up. We want to be loved unconditionally, and he has. I want you to think about this. These are questions we're asking every day. We want someone closer than a brother. He is. That's what the Bible says. Think about it. These are questions we ask all the time. Jesus, would you appear? He already has. Do you really love me unconditionally? He has. Lord, would you be closer than a brother to me? Would you always be there? He is. This is what Resurrection Sunday is all about. And how do you receive this? Listen, everybody doesn't have it. It's a gift from God. We receive it or we walk away from it. It's very simple. Jesus has not made this hard. He's made it very easy. Either we walk with Jesus or we walk away from Jesus. Either this is truth or it's not. Either he's risen or he hasn't. But if you look through all the scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, Jesus is showed up through the whole time. The prophecies that have already come true in the scripture, he's alive and he's real. So how do we have this Jesus? It's a gift. You don't earn it, you receive it. And if you don't receive it, then you don't have Jesus. Very simple. I love Jesus because I'm a very simple type of person. So this is easy for me to understand. God, I don't have to do 100 things to get close to you. I've got to do one thing, the Bible says, receive you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the last verse. Could you just come to the piano? This is Resurrection Sunday, man. One of the Sundays that we all come out for, we think about. But I hope today you've seen Jesus in a different way. John 1:12 says, to all who received him, I want you to read that, but as many as received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. There's not a lot in there that says, if you do these 10 things, 12 things, if you're good enough today, and if you stay good for 7 days, I don't see any of that. I see Jesus saying, hey, I've already done all the work. I've finished it. It is done. It is over. I'm not coming back to do it again. I'm coming back to take you home with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that verse one more time. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So my question is, what will you do on this Resurrection Sunday? What will you do? Let us stand. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to give you that time. If this is like that, maybe the first message you've ever heard about Jesus, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus, he's in the room. He's in the room. He's in the room. He's wherever you are. No matter how bad you are. No matter how bad you are. No matter how bad you are. Come on. He's coming into the room. And he's not screaming your name from a distance. He's not standing outside. He's saying, I'm here. If you've never known that Jesus, this is the time to say, Jesus, I need you. And you can repeat this right now, right where you are. Jesus, I need you. You're my Savior and Lord. And I give my life to you today on Resurrection Sunday to be my Lord of my life. And I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I thank you, past, present, and future. And I want to walk with you. My heart is with you. I may stumble and I may fall, but it says, by your grace, we are saved. And that's what Jesus is saying to you. It's my grace that has saved you. And I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to talk with you. And I'm going to teach you. And I'm going to give you understanding of who I am. If you've never prayed that, if you've never cried out, if you've never just said that, and if you don't say it now, you can go home and say it, because guess what? He's in your room. And he always will be. And if you're here today, I've walked with Jesus all my life for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I ask you this then, all of us, how closer are you to Jesus today than you were yesterday? Because if you're not any closer to Jesus today than you were yesterday, man, you're going to have to do something. Because if you were knowing Jesus for 20 years, man, you better be closer to Jesus today than you were yesterday. And God says, hey, for you guys, church, I'm in the room. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to teach you things that you've never been taught before. Why? Because I love you. Resurrection, going to the cross is one thing, but raising from the tomb is another. That's why we can stand here together and say, God, who the Son sets free, we are free indeed. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for this day. This isn't just another day, but God, this is your day. Your day that you rose from the grave. That's what we're celebrating. And you sit at the right hand of the Father, and it says you intercede for us on a daily basis. But also, you come in to the room. You're in the room. You're in the room. You're in the room. And if you have Christ living inside of you, said that prayer, or if you said it before, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit dwells. He's in the room with you. Hallelujah. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you that you rose on the third day. Thank you that you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. And thank you that you're interceding for us. Lord, what an awesome God you are. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have so much for Calvary Gospel. You have so much for Calvary Gospel. You're not living in the past. Those are only things that got us here. But now you're looking at the future and you're saying, church, get ready, because I'm on the move. I'm on the move. And I want you to move with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your love, your compassion, your mercy, and grace. So I ask that question one more time in closing. Church, what will you do? That's the question. Will you receive him in all his glory? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. It is good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Come downstairs and fellowship with us. Oh, hang on a second. I just want to let everybody know that my wife and I will be leaving right after service, and we're going to Mexico to minister for a week at a pastor's conference to minister with pastors. We're leaving very shortly, and we're going to be gone for like a week and a half in ministry in Mexico. So please pray for us. Keep us in prayer, and we really appreciate that. And we're going to come home and give great news what God is doing around the world and what he's going to do at Calvary Gospel. Thank you. Have a great day. Resurrection Sunday.